go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's Thursday. We're still here. Several more shingles aren't. But you know what? We're counting ourselves among the fortunate that it was only shingles. By the time the what will go down in history as the big storm of 11 got here, a lot of its nastiness had blown itself away. But it, in so doing, it had blown itself out and done ungodly. And I know. But I use that term advisedly, ungodly damage. Cutting a path from Texas through Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, into Georgia, Tennessee, the death toll is breathtaking, and goes to point out how ill-suited we are to this day in the 21st century, the year 2764 AUC, how ill-suited we are to deal with disasters that I fear will become, as time progresses, more and more commonplace. You know by now what happened. A massive storm system moved through the south, from the south and west, up through the southeastern United States. And it touches me in particular because a lot of the cities that got hammered in Alabama are places with which I am well familiar. I worried about a lot of friends last night. I got a text message from Matt Osborne. I just simply texted him to say, "Are you okay?" And he texted back, "Yeah, but the place has been hammered." My old hometown got hit. So did little places like Phil Campbell, Alabama, which the correspondents noted really doesn't exist anymore. A mile and a half wide tornado carved through Tuscaloosa, Alabama, wreaking death and destruction. Pratt City, Alabama, to the north of Birmingham, flattened. And most interestingly, in the wake of the Fukushima disaster, power was lost to three separate Tennessee Valley Authority reactors. There was no similar disaster that transpired. They shut down as one would expect them to. But it was a less than gentle reminder of how fragile those nightmare complexes are. One of the ones that lost power was the Browns Ferry nuclear reactor, about 18 miles to the east of the Shoals area. Lawrence County, Alabama, was slammed. A couple who hid who tried to take shelter in a metal outbuilding, were killed when the whole outbuilding was picked up and thrown across a pond. The winds were noted as being of hurricane force. Now, when you live in Tornado Alley, anywhere from roughly Oklahoma and North Texas through generally most of the Southeast, tornadoes become commonplace, as strange as it may seem to say that. And you certainly learn the difference between a tornado watch and a tornado warning. Watching Facebook last night, and I gotta admit, I'm a little sleepy. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Oh. Sorry, the yawns are spontaneous. Watching Facebook into the night, Agnes was watching some folks she knows that lives over toward Beckley, and they were screaming, "There's a tornado warning! There's a tornado warning!" And she looked at me and said, "Is there?" And so I checked with the National Weather Service, and no, there was a tornado watch. Tornado watch means, well, it's kind of like Homeland Security condition orange. Conditions are favorable for an attack. All a tornado watch means is that one could happen based on conditions on the ground as they presently exist. A tornado warning, on the other hand, means get moving. Seek shelter. It's on the ground and it's headed for you. That distinction is pretty well understood in areas frequently stricken by tornadoes. Not so much in a place like West Virginia, which for all of its shortcomings, well, the Appalachian Mountains stand as a bulwark against things like tornadoes. Oh, we'll have some floods. We have a lot more of them now than we used to be, but that has nothing to do with the nature and shape of the continent or the weather patterns. It has everything to do with the relentless pursuit of unholy profit by a small group of small-minded people who don't care what they destroy as long as it results in something fungible for them. Yeah. The coal companies, in other words. You know, the Appalachian Mountains, there is not very much of North America that does not owe its vegetation to the Appalachians. Many thousands of years ago, the last ice age, as a matter of fact, many thousands of years ago, the northern two-thirds, I know that one line extends down into central Missouri. I know it got to Pennsylvania. Roughly the northern two-thirds of the North American continent were scrubbed clean. Scrubbed of life, scrubbed of vegetation. And as the glaciers receded, it was the little seed bank that was the Appalachian Mountains that receded North America. Grasses, trees, shrubberies were all receded out of Appalachia. At some point in the future, when that happens again, it will be much more difficult for Appalachia to serve that role because of what has been done to us by those relentless conquistadores de profit. But anyway, it was creepy enough around here. And yes, more shingles in the yard. You know, I figure if we can just hold out without it completely, without the rain getting completely into the house, that'll be less labor costs when I can finally afford to replace the entire roof, because that'll be less labor hours removing shingles. They will have simply blown the hell away. But it rained on Agnes some more last night. But no. Stop it. I offered to switch sides with her in the bed, so I'm the guy getting rained on. But she'll have no part of it. So, yeah, it rained some more in the bedroom, and
I prefer to get my bath the old-fashioned way. I just let it drip, 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 drip.
Yeah, it's not so much a shower as a drizzle.
Pretty much.
We'll just keep the soap dish by the bed, sweetheart.
No, I like it. You know, it's like the little song, Don't Let the Rain Come Down. New Christy Minstrels.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking about that. Yeah. But, so, having said all of this, oh, wait a minute, there it is. Yeah. Having said all this, my heart is very, very heavy today. And I was struck by the fact that last night, as we prattled on about the trivialities of a useless, sensation-driven for-profit media, and about the hateful machinations of the birthers and the deathers and the tenthers and the fourteenthers and the baggers and the booger eaters, people I know were dealing with much more essential existential questions in the midst of driving rain, falling hail, and hurricane-force winds. And my heart is with them. The photographs are stunning. You see something like that. And it's quite similar to the photographs we saw of washed-away areas of Miyagi Prefecture in Japan. The damage from these storms is going to go into the billions of dollars. And it raises questions. It damn sure does. It raises questions to which I am certain I don't have any significant answers. But not having answers doesn't mean that we don't look for them. I have some video here, courtesy of our, and we'll just deal with the audio. Someday, we'll do the video too. But we have some video and audio here, courtesy of our good friend Dave Nywert over at crooksandliars.com. I thought it might be instructive. This is Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And that's traffic on the four lane.
Jesus, help these people in Tuscaloosa. Lord Jesus.
It's an F5 tornado.
Not good, Mike.
No, it's going to destroy a big chunk of Tuscaloosa. Jesus, help him, please.
Help them be in safety.
It's as if the very atmosphere itself is falling down on the planet. Those of you who have been around such things know that these things are almost, in their destructive majesty, they're almost hypnotic.
Major damage in Tuscaloosa.
Drawing ever nearer to the videographer.
Jesus, help him. Help him.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, we're good here.
We're fine here. We're going to get RFD, but we're otherwise good. Debris everywhere. Debris everywhere.
It's like a meat grinder. And when what the drafters of the Declaration of Independence called nature and nature's God decides to have a word with you, you're not left with a whole lot else besides help them. Jesus, help them. Jesus, help them. But Jesus never saw a tornado. Jesus certainly never saw not an F1 and surely not this monstrous F5 explosions erupting in its midst as it plows across the earth. What you hear is the wind over the microphone. At a considerable distance of miles. The air literally choked with debris being flung tremendous distances. In the aftermath of a tornado, you see bizarre things. Featherless chickens. 2x4s driven like nails through telephone poles. Certainly awesome in every sense of the word. And it's Alabama. And they're right religious folk there. And so for the ones who survived, it will be a matter of thank God for protecting us. For those, however, who died, it will simply be God's will. as if God was the and one to column B. Low-income assisted housing was utterly destroyed in Phil Campbell, Alabama. And the calm after one of these fronts has passed, they say the calm before the storm, maybe I think that's probably hurricane and typhoon technology, but it's the calm after one of these that's really breathtaking. Because it seems almost cruel. But there was not a moment's indecision in declaring these areas of the Southeast, and Alabama in particular, a disaster area. Not at all. It's what we banded together and formed a federal government to be able to do. You see, if you can't have a little help from your fellow countrymen in cleaning up after a disaster like this, there's really not much point in calling yourself a union anymore. But it was Alabama. And it was also Arkansas and Mississippi and Texas. Texas, where they've been praying for rain. Careful what you pray for, boys. And those facts make it absolutely, I think, necessary, painful though it be, to ask some honest questions. About who we are and where we're going and whether or not we're going to go there together. A loose affiliation of the several states would never be able to accomplish anything in the way of disaster relief. Sort of passing the hat among the states, saying, can you help? Can you help? Oh, we got our own problems. We got hit too. Sorry, look somewhere else. And there were people caught up in that storm who were, I am sure, birthers and baggers and deathers and tenthers and fourteenthers, and all the various and sundry conservative, God-fearing, Bible-believing conservatives. Who will never in a million years vote for the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama. But you have to give it to Barack Obama for class on this. There was no hand-wringing. The disaster declaration was made without a moment's thought. And so the federal government that the state of Alabama openly and wholeheartedly despises will, once again, as it has from 1865 forward, pick Alabama back up, dust it off, dress its wounds, salve its scars, give it a little pat on the rump and send it toddling off down the road to the political insanity where it lives each and every day. The state of Alabama will live to hate again. And we have listeners in Alabama, dear friends. I have a, there is a special place in my heart that for everyone who is a liberal living behind the cornbread curtain, because it takes more courage than being liberal anywhere else. It takes some real fire in the belly. So please accept yourselves from these my comments, but I suspect that were I to begin hearing from folks in places like Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, I would hear words of agreement. Because even in a time like this, even in this moment, when the right thing to do is to merely address the crisis, there are those of us who realize that it won't make any difference. That there will be no gratitude to the states that actually generate tax revenues so that federal disaster assistance can be extended to states like Alabama, because Alabama takes in far more in the way of taxes and federal revenues than anything it pays out. There's too many poor people in Alabama for Alabama to make much of a dent in the way of paying taxes into the federal treasury. They take far more than they give. And when the disaster is passed and the dead are buried, well, in other circumstances, you might sit down and say, you know, we got to have a talk. When the drunk wraps his car around the telephone pole, the first inclination is to make sure that the drunk survives. And once the wounds are healed and the facts are known, you sit the drunk down and say, we got to have a talk. Your drinking's going to kill you. And it's the same kind of conversation that this nation desperately needs to have with Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee and Louisiana and Arkansas and Texas and Oklahoma. Your conservatism is going to kill you. Alabama has the lowest property tax rate in the United States. It's not that way so that ordinary homeowners can have a break. It's that way because there are massive, massive landholding companies in Alabama who don't want to pay for the ownership thereof. And that's one of the things that keeps Alabama in a state of constant financial trouble. That's what makes it possible for the school systems to have to go begging every year and a half or three. Because, and this is no different from antebellum Alabama, the big landholders want to keep life good for them at the expense of everyone else. All under the guise of family values, conservatism. We're going to be conservative here. I will never forget that very special spring I spent with my father. It was 2006, and I was down in Alabama for a couple of months. Did the show down there from out in front of a building on a beautiful Friday in May. magic. But it was political season there. And even the Democrats were politicizing themselves in their advertisements as family values conservative Democrats. And anyone who had run for office calling themselves a liberal, well, they were only running for sport. They certainly didn't have any desire to win. Because you got to be conservative in Alabama. So your money, my money, our tax dollars, will, as they should, as anyone with a shred of human decency or mercy would insist, go to help the suffering in that suffering state. It will go for debris removal. It will go for temporary shelter. It will go for recovery. And nobody's going to have to sign an oath or anything in order to get disaster relief that says, I promise never to call Barack Obama a nigga again. Nobody's going to have to do that. Nobody's going to have to sign an affidavit saying, I promise I'm never going to accuse him of being born in Kenya no more. Wouldn't be any point to it. Because they would break that affidavit and forswear those oaths as quickly as the sky cleared. Sorry for using that word, but in this case I use it realistically. Because that is how he is described in Alabama. That president. That Kenyan. They've got a senator in Alabama, a jug-eared inbred freak named Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, who once advised one of his fellow attorneys in the U.S. Attorney's Office, a man of color, be careful what you say around the white women, son. Self-same member of the United States Senate who once said, I used to think the Klan was pretty good until I found out they smoked marijuana. Think about that. You can literally terrorize human beings for the color of their skin in the eyes of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Tud. You can terrorize human beings. You can threaten their lives, their existence, their children. You can try to run them out of their homes. Unless you smoke the marijuana, and then you become persona non grata to Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Tud. So we will not be having any sort of significant conversation with Alabama or any other of the several states that were hit by this storm. And we will not have that conversation, and we will not have it to our lasting detriment. Because, you see, it's in the nature of the right-wing conservative mindset to deserve what they want. Alabama wants help. Therefore, Alabama needs help. No one will tell them that if the anarcho-Randian political philosophy that they so closely espouse were actually the operative terms of this union, that they would be left to fend for themselves. Because why? Because in Ayn Rand world, altruism is weakness. That it is only the remaining remnant liberal properties that were struggled for to get into government that will save their bacon and pull their fat out of the fire. David in South Carolina reminding me, today a TVA spokesman, of course, said that TVA was well prepared for storms such as this, and therefore they would not have any problems. David in South Carolina says, I hate it when experts do their invincible, i.e. Titanic, unsinkable routines. I think I understand why David hates those, because nature, the universe hears those. And while TVA's three reactors did apparently get through okay, they have not yet been restarted. They will be. There's a lot of other things up and down the Tennessee River, for instance, that gave me more than a little bit of pause. Remember when the Kingston coal ash disaster transpired in December of, 2009? Well, those coal ash dams are adjacent to every TVA coal-fired power plant up and down the Tennessee River. And my God, if one of those things had been breached, or two, or three, the damage would be incalculable. And the fact that they is not an indicator of your solidity of construction, but of nothing short of what will be called in those parts divine providence. Marty noting, I bet the Japanese engineers thought they were ready too. And frankly, I'll bet my last dollars on Japanese engineers before I bet a penny on TVA. Yeah, Marty. This rolling in from Rofert Jefferson Davis Plainsman. Bob, it's God's will for them pipples got killed. Y'all notice that the Auburn side of the great state of Alabama came through without incident. Why, y'all ask? It's cause that Bama fan pies in them two nice old oak trees at Tuma's Corner. That Bama don't kill them special Auburn trees. That twister would have gone straight Tennessee, but it was God's a-wreaking his havocs on Nick Satan and his tree-killing supporters at the capstone. That tornado ripped the living daylights out of Tuscaloosa. Killed people. And while that is parody, I guarantee you there's some folks in Alabama that thought has passed through their mind. Because the God they worship is a vengeful God. There are people in Alabama as we speak. There are preachers preparing sermons for the pulpit as we speak. Who are preparing to tell their sheep that this is divine retribution for America getting away from God. This is our secular society. This is what happens when you let the homosexuals get married. Don't tell me they're not. Because they are. It wasn't long after September the 11th, 2001, when Jerry Falwell, who is hopefully playing blackjack with a stacked deck with Lester Maddox and George Wallace in hell. When Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson decided to sit down and have a little confabulation and said that the attacks of September the 11th, 2001 had befallen the United States, especially at liberal New York City,
because of the lesbians and the ACLU and the people for the American way, and God had lifted his veil of protection, and we need to get back to Jeebus.
It is, I suppose, a fundamental human urge to find a connection between conduct, or find a connection between action and reaction. It has gone on, it's in virtually every so-called sacred writing on the planet. But in places like Alabama, it's mostly a manifestation of inherent bigotry. Because there ain't no homosexuals getting married in Alabama. The lesbians are well and truly locked down tight. And so are the gay men. And in Alabama, little 22-year-old transgendered girls don't get the hell stomped out of them at McDonald's. Because they, like that young woman did last week in Maryland. Because little 22-year-old transgendered girls don't go the hell out in Alabama. Little 22-year-old transgendered girls don't expect to be allowed to live in Alabama. And yet, instead of looking in the mirror at themselves and at the very real social and political decisions that they make and the toxin of conservatism, they'll figure out some way to blame it on a hairdresser in Greenwich Village. And you know I ain't lying. So we begin there, but there's ever so much more to cover. And yeah, there's still some birtherism banging around out there. But that and a lot more. It is about, 17 minutes before the hour. And I'll tell you, we're in a sort of a Jerry Lee Lewis, we're in a sort of a Jerry Reed spot this evening. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. We're $800 out from meeting the April fundraising goal. That means we need 80 contributions of $10 each tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday, so that we can begin May not in a hole. I hate them holes. And holes scare me. Because the deeper them holes get, the less likelihood there is of this continuing. Oh, no, I'm not going to get all Oral Roberts. Jesus is going to call me home! No. It just means that things get more difficult to maintain. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, as is the snail mail address. I'm proud as punch we've gotten where we are, because it was mighty grim for a long time there. But we are at $1,700 for the month. It takes $2,500, or else we have to start scrambling and let things go by and not make payments and start getting the, hey, you haven't made a payment letters and things like that. And that stuff catches up in a hurry. Any help you can give will be mightily appreciated. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Your phone calls up next. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
Got 350 heads on 305 engine, I get 10 miles to the gallon. I ain't got no good intentions.
Cool Genius, it's not your mother's soap.
Hey dude, wait 1 second, it's totally my mother's soap.
Cool Genius, it's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap, there's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Cool Genius, we got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org. or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
How's that for a pair of bookends? Yeah, the gritty realism of Mike Cooley and the drive-by truckers and what, in my opinion, may very well be the best song they ever did, Zip City. Followed by the an upbeat little song about having a effed-up roof of New Christy Minstrels. Of course, Agnes suggested that one. That's why I had to play that. You got to do what the boss says, right? Yeah. Almost all the lines are stacked up. There's only one left open, so let's start our progress through them and see what happens. Hey, welcome to the program.
So you let Agnes get wet.
Well, that, I don't let. I offer, Tony. I offer.
Excuse me. Who orders the pants in that family?
Oh,
I'm sorry, she does.
Hey, you know, I got my broadcasting kilt on here. It's not impugning anybody's manhood.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I just had to.
No, she's one of them people that Alan West was talking about. One of them neutering liberal women. You know how it is. Yeah.
You can't get. They don't take no crap. That's the difference between our women and theirs. We listen to ours, and when they say something, we let them do what they want, unlike theirs. Anyway, speaking of Mr. West and the asshat that he is, why is it that when you see Obama at speeches and people speak up, they don't get arrested? They shout him, the shouts our people down, they get arrested, they get thrown out. I mean, we have a history of this going back to George Bush and Cheney. I mean, look at what happened to Sidney Sheehan. When Obama has hecklers, you never see him get thrown out. He actually talks to him. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. This guy's an asshat, and also, he's been watching 300 too much.
No, this is Fort Lauderdale.
He's probably got a license plate that says "Whoa" or something. I mean, he's watching that. Don't get me wrong; it was a great movie, but this guy's definitely into it.
Oh, I hated it.
You did, really?
Oh yes. I mean, I actually, I've got a functioning appreciation for that history.
Yeah, I understand that, but.
And so it was like the whole thing, 300, was like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, Tony.
Yeah, but visually it was beautiful visually.
Oh, sure it was. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's why the movie did so well, because it was visual. Because like you know a lot about more history than I do. I mean, it was factually incorrect, and you could probably point out all the reasons. But as a movie, it was visually pretty, and I think that's what happened for the most part. Because you know, when you make a story like that, if you don't make it attractive, then historians are gonna not do that well, because it's not true. But anyway, this guy, he like I said, how come our people get arrested? And you know, you couldn't even, they got, people got screened before they came into Bush's things, and they wouldn't take any hard questions. But that's the difference between us and them, is because, I mean, you've seen it before. Obama's had hecklers, and he's actually talked to them.
Yeah.
When we ask him questions, we get arrested. So there's the difference between us and them. I mean, no matter how hard they try, they can't keep us down. You know, it is. Anyway, did you see Pat Buchanan? He was saying Obama had affirmative action help.
Oh, that was just beautiful, wasn't it? When is that? Look, own it, right? I got to own my words. When is that old Nazi going to die?
I told you before, this guy used to throw rocks at black people when he was a kid. Why anybody even talks to him is beyond me. But we actually think Obama had affirmative action help. You know, and I'm going to say this not knowing how really the college system works, because I never went. But when you get to that degree in those kind of colleges, affirmative action don't mean jack. You got to pull the grades.
Well, it's interesting you would bring that up, because I had an email from our good buddy Tosh, and you might find this there's got a little bit of length to it, but it makes some sense. You might find this helpful in understanding this. He says, Tosh dropped me a line today after our conversation last night about the Donald Trump wanting, whoops, I heard he was a terrible student at Occidental, you know, all that crap.
Yeah, right.
So Tosh drops me a line and he says, having a son who graduated from Occidental College in politics, and see, there's details coming in this email that none of the birthers ever bring up.
Oh, of course.
Having a son who graduated from Occidental College in politics, I've heard the inside story about Mr. Obama at Oxy. There was in the politics department a story about how he had gotten a B on a paper, and when he went to see the professor, who is still teaching there but is not a fan, about getting it raised so it wouldn't be a blot on his record, the professor refused, stating he could have done better and so wouldn't be getting a freebie from him. Despite what it sounds like, this story makes it sound like most of Mr. Obama's grades at Occidental were better than B's. And then in big, bold letters, Tony, going from Occidental to Columbia is not a big deal. This is breaking news, okay? Yeah, how did he go to Columbia? Well, Tosh answers the question. Occidental has a 2+2 program with Columbia University. 2 years at Oxy and then two at Columbia. They also have one with Caltech. He said, my own son looked into both to the extent that we got him a car out in California so he'd be able to drive to Pasadena for classes at Caltech. Unfortunately, his skills at doing physics problems ended before he really needed the car. So, no, it's just like the birth certificate issue. This is a bunch of manufactured hoo-ha delivered especially for people who don't know, for instance, that Columbia University has a 2+2 program with Occidental.
See, that's it, like I was telling before. You know, these are not, the schools you're dropping names on are not community college, boys' school, like everything else is big boys' school. They don't play. You know, that affirmative action might get you in a community college, but that stuff ends when you get to this level. You got to pull the grades. You got to pull your weight. Otherwise, you're not there. You know what I'm saying? Because they have a waiting list of people to get in there, and they could just, they want to keep their standards up, so they're not going to let anybody in. You got to earn your right to be there. So when I hear them say that,
well, and see, there's also something that goes on called grade inflation. Since I went to a state school, I learned a little bit about it. Private colleges tend to have grade inflation, and that means that once you've survived the freshman year, if you're in a hotshot situation, a hotshot college situation, and if you can be weeded out, you're going to be weeded out in the freshman year.
Sure.
Once you get through that, something that would be a C at a state school is a B plus at a private institution, because they maintain their reputation by their overall grade point average.
And the standards are higher. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, actually they're lower. For instance, the C you get at a state school, like, you know, Tennessee or Alabama or West Virginia or Virginia or North Carolina, the C there is actually a higher grade at a private college, because the private college is maintaining its prestige by its grade point average.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah, I get it. I see what you mean. Like the person who got a higher grade there. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I didn't quite know what you meant by first, but then I get it.
You know, Ohio State's got 50,000 students. Screw one freshman if they can't, a sophomore if they can't cut it. Yeah, see you later. But once you're into the upper echelons of the more prestigious schools, there are real efforts made to keep you there.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
For instance, in his email to me, Tosh talks about his own academic experience, and notes that in his work on a master's degree, that at one point he got got an A when he was afraid he would have gotten a B, because, among other things, that professor didn't want to be the one to ruin his perfect 4.0.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I get it now.
And Tosh closes his email by saying, "Cheers, Trump is claiming victory for being proved to be a complete idiot. Nice work if you can get it."
And speaking about Trump, this guy... I mean, Obama just clowned everybody by pulling out the birth certificate, even though I don't know why, because he doesn't need to stick to that level, but he made everybody look like an idiot because he pulled it out. You know, he's got to stop doing this, because what's going to happen is if he does this, then somebody else does something, and then he has to deal with that, then somebody else does something, he has to deal with that. He's got too much stuff on his hand. Why doesn't he just do what Bush and Cheney is and start claiming national security on everything? Because they wouldn't tell us jack, because every time we wanted to know something, they would go, "Oh, I'm sorry, that's national security. We can't tell you." He should pull that card out, because the Republicans did that to us for 8 years. I mean, this guy Trump, he ain't running. Come on, he's having too much fun. It's too much of a job to be president. And Obama needs to not fall into his game, because the more, like, what is this? Let me see his grades. What does that have to do with anything? You know?
It's just something else for the birthers, and you know, we just keep, it's like Sandra mentioned last night, we just keep adding little sub-tribes to the overall clan of the haters of all thing Obama. So we had birthers, and now we have graders. Why won't he give us his grades?
That has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on. I mean, let the man do his job.
Wait, Tony.
I'm sorry.
Let the man do his job. But if the man does his job, there's at least an outside chance that things might get better. And if things get better, that's bad for the Republican Party. And you've got to always remember, every time you think of something like this, you must always remember that the Republican Party operates on the principle of party first.
Yeah, they're...
They would burn this country to the ground with gasoline if they were convinced that it would be good for the Republican Party.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And getting on that point, did you know that are you familiar with Zagora bill? The bill that Congress wants to put through? They want these first responders. These are all Republicans, now, like you said. They want first responders to prove they're not terrorists before they get their money. Did you hear about that?
No.
I was watching this on Jon Stewart last night. It's called the Gezora, I'm not pronouncing it 100% right, the Zagora bill, from one of the guys who died from the, you know, inhaling all the fumes of 9/11. All right? Now, you may want to research this, but the Republicans want to, they passed the bill. And apparently there's an amendment that they got to get a letter once a year from, I want to say the FBI or the CIA, to do a background check to prove they're not terrorists before they get their money. Now, that's basically what it says. You got to look it up. But that's the truth. And guess who voted yes on all that? Republicans, like you said. Can you believe that?
100% yes.
I mean, it was so just, if you get a chance, go on the Daily Show thing. You know, Stewart has a clip from it. It's just, it's mind-numbing, Bob. You look at that and you go, really? Really? I mean, the nerve of these clowns, like I told you before, they sit up there and they ride the backs of the heroes and they sit there and they wear the flags and stuff. And then they do that. They don't deserve it. And they're all Republicans. You're right. They'll burn this country down. I mean, how do you justify that?
Well, they justify it by their tacit understanding that it is good for the Republican Party, and therefore it matters not what is good for America. We are at a point in time, and I don't mind saying it, we're at a point in time, Tony, where the Republican Party, as it is presently constituted, is absolutely 100%, no two ways about it, an un-American institution. They're funded by offshore corporations. They work actively against the needs, wants, and desires, hopes, dreams, and ambitions of working people who carry this country on their back. They are, Republicans are, un-American.
You know, I always try to benefit the doubt. I try to look for the benefit and give people the benefit of the doubt, but the more I see this, I just don't understand how you can put something that in a bill. I mean, I don't get that. Anyway, I know you're stacked, so I got two more things, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
The first one is, these guys, the Afghan that killed those people,
mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, before he opened fire, he screamed, Allahu Akbar. You know he did.
I don't even want to speculate on that because...
Come on, come on.
That's the last thing I need, you know, is Frank Gaffney out there hooting about that. He's already hooting about... Frank Gaffney, uber right-wing Muslim hater, and at the same time, a national security expert, that Frank Gaffney.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's declared that he opposes, and it puts me in a real spot, he opposes the nomination of David Petraeus to head the CIA because, just give me a minute, don't get in a hurry, because you need to sit down for the aneurysm you're going to have.
Okay, hang on, let me sit down just a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Frank Gaffney has accused David Petraeus of submission to Sharia law.
Oh, come on, really? So now, isn't Petraeus a general or, really?
Really?
He actually said that.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's his statement. We won't have time to go here. We won't have time here to go through this. Let me just mention several ways in which this kind of influence operation is being run against those sorts of target sets. An important part of it is keeping us ignorant of what they are doing. I'm sure most of you witnessed General David Petraeus, the much-admired military leader, responding to the Quran burning down in Florida by Pastor Terry Jones, saying that the Holy Quran, repeatedly, the Holy Quran, must not be desecrated, and in other ways suggesting that what we are doing here is a kind of submission to this program lest we give offense, which is a blasphemy and a capital crime under Sharia.
Okay.
He has shown submission to Sharia law.
That's not true. He's only trying to save life of the soldiers. You know as well as I do, and not.
Yeah, Frank Gaffney loves him some dead American soldiers, I guess.
I'm not an expert, but you know where I come from, and you know my religion. He's only doing the right thing. He's trying to keep his soldiers from being killed. It's better than firing a weapon off next to somebody's head when he's trying to get information from somebody, as Mr. West, that asshat, did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, Petraeus is only trying to. He knows the people he's dealing with, and he knows what pushes their buttons, and he's only trying to keep the buttons from being pushed. These guys, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they're a bunch of asshats. Anyway, I got one more thing to say, and I'll let you go. So, the CIA, the head of the CIA is now the head of Secretary of Defense, correct?
Well, will be as soon as all the confirmation process gets done.
Well, what does that tell you about the war? The way the war is being run? Come on, man, they're running it. They're running a covert war, and this isn't going to work.
Well, I think it tells you that all future wars are going to be run by the you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The trope that is being bullied about in the media, the for-profit media, however, is that Barack Obama is putting, from CIA, the guy that's going in. Where'd his name go?
Panetta?
Yeah, Leon Panetta. Barack Obama is nominating Leon Panetta to be the Secretary of Defense because Panetta will carry out his plan for slashing the Pentagon budget.
Yeah, that figures. Okay, I know your staff. One more thing, and I'll let you go. Nicole, how do you pronounce her last name?
Sandler.
Sandler, yeah. How come, Hannity was on TV last night saying left-wing radio person, which he says he never heard of, which is a lie. He knows who she is. How come our people are willing to get arrested and go to jail for something, but you don't see any of those guys like Hannity or Limbaugh? How come they don't go down to those pro-American things and get arrested? How come we're the only ones that get arrested?
Well, one, they're cowards, and B, they don't have the courage of their convictions, and C, when they were out there supporting the war, they had the full mechanism of the Bush administration not against them, but behind them.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
It's easy to support things that are wrong when the people doing the wrong things have the reins of power. Courage lies in, courage is when 125 people at Appalachia Rising, all of whom are most of all of whom are liberals and progressives, get arrested in front of the White House begging Barack Obama to stop the bombing of their homes.
Yeah, that is courage.
Because they're certainly, right-wingers, look, Tony, end-of-the-day stuff, they're gutless, they're cowards, they're punks.
Yeah, they are.
And they do not have the courage of their convictions. They run. They run like Yankees at Manassas.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Listen, I know you're stacked up. So you need $800 in 3 days, correct?
Long way to go and a short time to get there, right?
But for 3 days, right?
But you help, and everything is much appreciated. Yeah. Well,
No. What I'm saying is, I'm going to kick in again in a couple of days. I just want to know where you're at.
Yeah, the midnight Saturday.
All right, thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, thanks, Tony. Bye now. Tony calling from Vegas. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
If Tony wants visuals, he should try Avatar.
How so?
Well, I mean, just the sheer visual, the way that movie looked. Never mind the fact that it didn't exist. That's irrelevant. At least Avatar made no attempt, no bones about the fact that it never existed. It was science fiction. But the visual aspects of it were just gorgeous.
Oh, it was. Especially with the little 3D glasses on and sitting next to Ferg and watching him swat the little butterflies away. That was just cute as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last movie we went to.
I have a couple things. One, first of all, is an explanation about today's show post. I don't want people taking it wrong. I don't want them thinking that, I take this, what happened down in the South with the tornadoes lightly. I put up what I did more as a sign of, to me, that even after something utterly catastrophic, there can be hope and whimsy.
Sure.
So, no place like home, based on Dorothy and Oz.
Oh, yeah, in the Emerald City. It's real cute.
Yeah. Okay, and
Andy Ebb's house is kind of blowing away stage left.
Yeah. Now, what I really wanted, I was watching one of the weather thingies, and somebody just tossed in a factoid that just, I'm sitting there with my mouth hanging open. He had a graph up of the number of tornadoes year by year. And it turns out that even though they, you know, you aren't really into heavy-duty tornado weather yet, that's starting in May, the number of tornadoes is up quadruply. And that's frightening.
Yeah. And
and you and I know.
And that information, and that information is lost.
Yeah.
It's lost. You know, see what it has, see what happens, Susan. I'm a rational person. So as a rational person, for instance, here in Appalachia, when there's a community at the foot of a mountain that hasn't flooded in 100 years.
Yeah, and all of a sudden...
And suddenly the entire mountain's blown away and deforested and there's nothing to stop the rain anymore or soak it up, and the whole town washes away. As a rational person capable of learning, I'm into this sort of empirical 1+1=2 sort of stuff.
Yeah, instead of it's God's will.
But yeah, where we're talking about these, you know, where these tornadoes blew through, I guarantee you there will not be a rational discussion about climate change, because anybody who brings it up, unless it's at you know, I don't know, at the Unitarian Church or maybe, you know, quietly in their own home, will be screamed down as a liberal, as a secular humanist, as an environmental tree hugger.
Mm-hmm.
And probably as anti-Christian, because the Lord done give us dominion over the earth, and if the Lord wants, and the Lord will never allow His creation to be destroyed by man. You know, I'm not making any of those things up, because everything I just said, Susan, has been said by a right winger.
I know it has, and what they don't realize is if you have that particular mindset, they don't carry it to its logical conclusion. That means by denying what you are doing, you brought this on yourself, bud.
Yeah, and there's the issue of the of tipping points and so forth, but moreover, you know, when I was talking earlier, I mentioned, you know, the guy who wraps his car around the phone pole, and then people who love him and care about him say, you know, buddy, you're going to kill yourself drinking.
Yeah.
Well, to apply that imagery to the Deep South, guy gets loaded, wraps his car around the phone pole, and in the Deep South, after the wreck, they go, you know, I think it was the brakes, when the guy smells like a brewery. So they put him back out on the road again, and he wraps his car around the phone pole. And some bubba walks up and says, looks like his power steering pump went out, when there's a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon sitting in the guy's lap.
Yeah.
So they let him out again, and he wraps the car around the phone pole again, and the minister comes up and says, bless Jesus, I do believe he had a blowout in a tar.
Yeah.
And this time the guy's wearing one of those Green Bay Packers fan hats with six cans of beer and one straw going into his mouth.
Yep.
It is a fundamental, there's that word, it is a fundamentalist evasion, refusal to deal with reality.
Yeah. And whether you believe, but you know, what I meant by taking it to its logical conclusion is whether you believe in Jesus or science, pay attention, guy. Something is about to rear up and bite you in the ass if you don't change your tone.
Hear, hear.
You know, it's not the homosexuals. It's not the secular humanists. Those Cat 5 hurricanes used to be so rare are showing up real commonly now. sends these big, big, mile-wide tornadoes, guess what? Think about what you are doing to this planet and think. Has it occurred to you that maybe your God is taking exception?
But no. I'm not being rude or anything. You can say that all day long. It ain't going to sink home because their God loves them. Because they hate the homosexuals and they hate the liberals. God loves them for their hate.
Yes, but God has also been known to be capricious and has been known to strike without warning. So he has a record. Maybe we ought to go that route. You and I both know what's causing it. It's called climate change. But if the only way to get through to these idiots is convince them that their Jeebus is about ready to rise up and smite them, hey, I'll do whatever I gotta do. And may the goddess forgive me.
I understand.
It just blows me away. I see whole cities that look like Cologne after the bombing. And I think, you know, and you hear about these children that are dead.
I saw...
Didn't bring any of this on them, and I'm saying, damn you, you parents. Those children didn't deserve that.
I saw a photograph that was just mind-boggling, Susan. Because it was an old Ford dealership in Coleman, Alabama. And it had been refaced with a new brick front. And you want to consider, just to consider the force of that storm, it was bizarre. Because the building was still, it was badly damaged, it'll have to be destroyed, but the building was still standing. But the bricks were blown off the front.
Mm-hmm.
Just, wow.
This was an F4, F5.
There was a whole passel of them.
Yeah, I've seen deals where you've had brick walls with pieces of straw driven into them.
Yeah, that can happen.
When you're dealing with 200-plus mile-an-hour winds, yeah. Which is one reason why you will never find me living in that part of the country. I'm not insulting that part of the country too much. It's just that, hey, tornadoes are not my idea of giggles. I'll take earthquakes any day. But,
well, you know, it's a matter of the devil you know and the devil you don't.
Well, no, it's just that these people refuse to see. And well, I don't expect anybody to change their mind. They're not going to change their mind. I can rail on all day. You can. Everybody can. It's not going to make a snowball's bit of difference. They're still going to go.
And suddenly the point I was trying to make is that suddenly there's this profound sense of entitlement. Oh, well, they're entitled to have national disaster relief.
Yeah. And what gets me, it's like you said, we pick them up, dust them off, bandage their wounds, all so that they can turn around and spit in our eye. I gotta tell you, secession is beginning to look really good.
Yeah, but I gotta get you away from that. You can't hang the liberals behind the cornbread curtain out to dry. And you can't tell them to move either, because they want to make where they live better, not leave it to its fate.
But I can sit here and daydream. one other point.
Besides, you don't want them all coming to Oregon and going, "Damn, y'all talk funny."
No, you can't come to Oregon. It rains all the time here.
See? Susan, have yourself a good night, dear.
There's one thing I want to mention real fast.
Okay.
During the campaign, a point came up about Barack Obama's college application. When he applied to college, he did not designate his race. They didn't know what he was until the day he showed up. So you see the affirmative.
Well, see, that just proves that he's been slick like that all his life. He was trying to pass himself for white.
Yeah, right.
See how it works?
Off as competent. But
creepy, isn't it?
They will never stop, ever, ever, ever.
I think there's a genuine likelihood that you're correct.
Give my love to Agnes.
I sure will. You have a good night, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Who's Ninja Susan calling from Oregon? Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Listen, so I'm sorry. I'm still, you know, gobsmacked by a million people applying for these 62,000 McDonald's jobs.
I saw that link, and what? You know.
I mean.
A million McDonald's applications.
No, exactly. And the thing is that those sort of low-wage jobs, they require, you know, urine samples, I mean, and background. You know, they go all out. It's just kind of like, it is so disturbing, and it's also celebrated. And I had to take a double take when I saw that they received a million applications. I'm like, is this for real? Because if it is the case, there is a serious bubble in this country, and the state of it, you know, that is horrible. There's no other way of looking at that, except that that's just an awful reality to me.
I'd love to see the demographics on the applicants. They hired 62,000 out of the million that applied. They'd originally planned to only hire 50,000.
Yeah, and they gratefully added a few more thousand. I mean, yikes.
And the reason I said that I'd like to see the demographics on it. How many 54-year-olds you think were in that crowd? You know what I mean?
No, I don't know, am I just sort of out of it? But, I mean, aren't you just sort of just stunned by the sheer numbers? And this economy is just, I'm sorry, that tells me that things are just horrible.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is one of those macro snapshots, you know what I mean? But it's this way every time a Walmart opens. Oh, we're going to hire 200 people, and they wind up with 20,000 applicants.
Well, I know they were doing. They had some store. I don't know if it was. I can't remember which store it was, but there was like 50 jobs, and they had like 1,000 people apply. And that was, you know, a while ago. But I don't know. I just was sort of is it possible that because this was so widely advertised, because the corporate press was sort of touting it as something good, that they got extra applicants? Or what?
I think that probably accounts for some of it.
You know, because I'm just kind of, you know, because it's just, I just think that this economy is just being hollowed out, you know, and left for dead. Because I saw the growth rate was 1.8. That's really chugging along. You know what I mean? That's terrible.
Just chugging along on the walker, you know, having a fine time.
It's just, yeah. Anyway, that one really killed me. I just thought, oh, dear God.
Well, I love the stuff that they bury inside these stories, like McDonald's declined to disclose how many of the jobs were full versus part-time.
Right. Oh, yes, exactly. No, no, no.
Because ain't nobody, the point is, ain't nobody going to make a living on this.
Oh, no, all of it. No, and it's shameful that it's being touted as, you know, part of the recovery. It's just like, oh, no, you know, is that where we're at? And I have to say that I am still just totally freaked out. 100 tornadoes in a 12-hour period. Hello?
Yeah, no, it really, I mean, I understand that that's biblical.
No, no, no. And the numbers just keep going up. Last I looked, it was like 220 or something crazy.
Yeah, it was 164 when I finally fell asleep last night at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah,
because we were waiting for the freight train sound. Yeah, because, you know, with climate change, we're used to going, nah, tornado, shmornado, we don't get them around here. But with climate change, everything's in play now.
No, but the thing is, and it's also so idiotic in this country that, you know, that the Obama administration or whatever regulatory agency, they're not closing these reactors down because we're not operating in normal anything. They say those reactors can withstand a 6.0. Who cares? We're well past normal seismic activities.
Well, and bear in mind, the three reactors that lost power last night, Sandra, they weren't touched. That was external power going in to, you know, run things.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
But they didn't get hit, and there's not one of them that could withstand the kind of stuff that blew through Tuscaloosa.
Right. Well, no, and it's just kind of, it's just scary because all these standards that they're so-called adhering to, it's a new ball game now.
The standards aren't standards anymore. The standards are, at best, I don't think I'm off base. Anything in the way of a standard for a nuclear power plant in the wake of Fukushima is, optimism, wishful thinking, hopefulness.
And it's bad enough, you know, with some of the reactors inland and all that. But, you know, California, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for not shutting down these plants now, you know. Because this state is well due for some, I'm sorry to say, knock on wood, some horrible earthquake. Because, A, it's on the Ring of Fire. It's California. Did I say that it was on the Ring of Fire? So, you know, we're terrible out here. And these reactors are right on the coast. It's like, hello. If they're on the coast, they're on fault.
Yeah, that thing spreads out a little bit. Half the reactor on one side, half the reactor on the other, and the plutonium down the crack, and see how that works out just fine.
Yeah, so I think that I guess people are just sleepwalking right now because there is no reason for California to say, well, no, we're gonna. The only reason why they're hesitating by not extending the one that PG&E owns is because people are making a big stink about it. I told you they were going to just give them 20 more years on a 40-year-old plant, right?
Right.
And apparently there's some holdup, and the CEO of PG&E all of a sudden is gone. I'm like, ooh. Because, you know, they blew up that poor town with the gas pipes. You know about that, right?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, we talked about it.
You know, well, all them homes were destroyed. Yeah, and it's like, and I don't know if I ever told you, but one of the people on the public utility board who investigates them just happened to live in that area, and her daughter died. I just thought that was outrageous. Anyway, I digress. I'm just saying the weather is crazy, and the poor South with deregulated and Randian type of situation, they suffering, man. They suffering.
Yeah, they are. But how much of this, and I feel like a real jackass for saying this, but how much of this is self-inflicted wound? I mean, no, they did not self-inflict a tornado on themselves, but they at every electoral opportunity put the imprimatur of their approval on a government that cannot respond.
Well, and you know, yeah, it's been totally rendered useless by design, I guess. And all of a sudden, this is a situation where you need the government and more. And I'm not too sure what those people have to look forward to. I don't know. I saw some of the pictures and it was just like, good Jesus.
Not inspiring.
It was, you know, so I'm not, you know, and it's like, aren't you about sick of hearing about the so-called political leaders flying down to meet whatever? Well, I'm so over that. I think I got really over it from Katrina, and it's been the same way ever since.
No, see, I'll see your Katrina and raise you an Andrew.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Yes, we did have them flying all over the place for that. You're right.
After Katrina, it did afford a nice opportunity for that one young physician to go and just absolutely give Hail Columbia to Dick Cheney. Of course, he was arrested and dragged away and tasered and gassed and maced.
That was classic. That, God, I mean, little did we know what was coming. That was amazing, that encounter.
But just let people do that. I mean, this is desperate hours kind of work, and stay the hell away.
Yeah, stay away. No, I'm like, when I saw that Obama was, you know, it's like, so what? And what the hell is that going to do? You see what I'm saying? I just think that the mood is such that, no, that ain't going to cut it. Just stay your ass there and do something.
But see, this is a function, Sandra, of the evolution of the presidency into this many-hatted institution, and this is the hat he wears when he's cheerleader-in-chief.
No, I know. There's all...
And handholder-in-chief.
Yeah, no.
And you bite your thumb and say, I feel your pain.
Right, but it's just kind of like, I don't know, just because we saw all that, and then we saw the results was nothing but an opportunity for more privatization. Is all I saw.
And that's the thing. You know, there will be, in the next couple of days, somewhere along the way, if it hasn't already, stories will begin to leak out about $20 gallon jugs of water in Alabama because the free market will step in and the profiteering will begin.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah, no, of course. Of course. It's just too... I don't know. I just was kind of more aghast at the number of tornadoes, and it just seems to be just out of control, the weather.
Well, it is, and we made it that way. But God forbid that you mention any of that, because at least down there you can't. You know, this might be a function of global climate change. Communist.
No, I know. Well, no, I mean, but see, it's something really hideous. That we're being sort of assaulted, you know, by the man-made horror weather and the Republicans, you know, all together. I mean, I just can't. It's too much to take. Did you see this? Another one of those Republican white women. Listen, I need not to be armed, Bob. That bitch. That woman. I know what. She's some horrible state house Republican talking.
Oh,
about.
Sally Kern in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, I taught the Negroes, and, you know, they don't work hard. I'm like, bitch, come out here. You can work hard running away from my gun. They're going to pop up in your ass. You know what I mean? God.
I'm just, you know what? I take my victories where I can get them, Sandra. At least she didn't say shiftless.
Oh, God.
I mean, for her, that's real progress. I mean, this woman has a history.
Well, you see, I don't know these. I see these, they just blend in. These old Republican white women, but they open their mouths and it's always disgusting. So who's this one? What's her?
She's been introducing bills to keep the Homer sectionals out of the schools and stop it. Oh, Jesus. I mean, she's a real pro.
Anyway, it was just, but the thing is, it's just so tedious. I'm like, really? Are you serious? You know what I mean? I keep thinking that 2011. But then I just flat.
But what I love better than anything is the defense, Sandra, when they get called on it, and it's just like the Orange County Republican official who got caught sending around that picture of Barack Obama as a chimpanzee, a baby chimpanzee.
Right. Yeah.
And she said, you know, I don't have a racist bone in my body. And I had never even considered the ramifications. I just thought it was a funny picture. My bad. Bull. You know, come on, bull. But they do that. So when Sally Kearns got caught, or Kern, she said, well, you know, this is, it's sort of a, they for all they hate evolution, when they get caught at this crap, they immediately leap down the social Darwinian road. And, well, I'm just basing this upon my observations as a dedicated educator in Oklahoma. I've taught these people, and I can tell you many of them have said to me, why should I work hard? The government will take care of me.
I mean, but that, I just don't believe it, though. You see what I'm saying? It's just, you know, they're racist, and then they just back it up with their more, you know, racist anecdotes. You know what I mean? It's just like, but the fact that it just happens, and it's happening more and more nonstop every damn day.
But again, she's got a history, and it's always about who's willing to work hard, okay? Here she is. I've got her on the floor of the Oklahoma State House saying, you see, women usually don't want to work as hard as a man because women tend to think a little bit more about their family, wanting to be at home more time, want to have a little more leisure time. That's all I mean. I'm not saying women don't work hard. I think women work hard, so don't take that the wrong way. But that's fact, as you have to keep in mind, okay? Women like to be willing to have a moderate work life with plenty of time for spouse and children and other things like that. That's all I meant, okay? They work very hard, but sometimes they aren't willing to commit all their life to a job like a lot of men do. That's all I meant by that, all right? They stand in judgment of, and I guess this, if you want to get sort of Freudian about it, this is an indication of the right-wing mindset that everybody who's not them is laying down on the job and just not working hard enough.
Well, you can consign that to anyone who you want to screw over. That's the formula, too. And it's just so tedious. And we just don't, you know, that's one thing I have to agree with Mr. President, is like, God, who has time? Because we don't, we really don't have time. The weather is like out of control. I've never seen anything like
that. Wait till hurricane season gets here. You're going to love that.
And those poor people with that ton of zillion, billion gallons of oil just sitting at the bottom waiting for the Category 3 hurricane to hit. I mean, it is all just outrageous, and in the meanwhile, these people are working as fast as they can to make voting damn near impossible. I don't know if you've been noticing this.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, this is really scary, though, because they want people to have official documentation to get official documentation.
And you can't get the official documentation.
Kafka.
What?
You know what I'm saying? It's just like terrible what's going on.
Yahtzee, right, yeah.
Now that they have the power. So, that, you know, all this sort of people bubbling over angry, it's like, well, hold on a minute, you're not going to have access to a ballot box if they get their way, and then what?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's like the handle of one of the people in the chat room. Then it's onward to dystopia.
I don't know. I'm just kind of, the weather is freaking me out, and the sort of lack of, all the institutions are rotten to the core, if I may direct you to the destruction of any kind of class action suit.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is the most rottenest institution now. It's horrific. They're trying to say that, oh, fuck you.
And you can do it with nothing more than a small print boilerplate contract.
Right, but this is going to just spread like wildfire now, not just for cheap-ass nasty phones, but for jobs and anything else that these huge corporations can do. I mean, are people just stupid? I'll go back to 2000. When everyone sat on their ass and let the Supreme Court pick Bush, that was the turning point, because this Supreme Court is a joke, Bob. It's invalid. And they keep coming up with these decisions to make regular people's lives a misery. So my choices now are I'm not going to use products anymore. I just will, I mean, I hear that we're going to pare down. They ain't joking. Because why should I use products that may, A, rip me off or hurt me when there's no recourse at all?
Zero.
And so my only option now...
But what I want to know is after the, once they've gotten their way, because they've claimed all along, Sandra, that, well, you know, what's keeping business down is all these trial lawyers are tormenting our perfectly innocent little corporations. You can't hardly make, put, no wonder we don't make nothing here. You can't make nothing, put it out on market right, getting sued by some trial lawyer. Well, okay, so they're shutting down the trial lawyer in business. What's the next excuse? Where do they go after that?
All I have to say to you about that is we need more tax cuts for the rich to create the jobs.
Yeah, taxes is too high. That's right.
Right, because we know, you know, it's just, but it's a joke. That sort of thing is, even Breyer, I guess he wrote the dissent, said, you know, the absurdity that someone's going to hire or a lawyer is going to take a case for $30. You know what I'm saying?
It's not reflected in the real world.
Oh, it's just crazy just to read that part of the dissent. It's just like, damn. I mean, that court must be bizarro world.
They don't, well, I mean, when you consider that it's run by that sort of feral-eyed freak Roberts in conjunction and with Scalia and Thomas and Alito, and, you know, I count Kennedy in there, too.
Mm.
Then,
no, well, I don't know what happened to him. Damn, he got pulled over big time anyway.
Yeah, but there's no there.
Well, no, but it's very scary because, see, my problem with all this, you know, macroly speaking, is the lack of interest / response. It's like, hello, knock, knock, knock. Is anyone there? Because this is coming at rapid fire, and I'm not too sure, you know, what to do, because did you see what they're doing with the passport applications? I don't know if you've seen that one.
Oh, you mean it? Yeah, it's going to get...
you know, that one.
Well, you know, I read that, and it's and just the backstory on that, applications for passports are going to get dramatically more difficult to acquire.
Oh, I downloaded the proposed PDF file because I wanted to see it, and it's just like, are you kidding me? They want to know... I can't tell you where my mother was living the year before she gave birth and her job. Are
no,
you kidding me?
I can't tell you the address of every place I've lived. And that's on there, too.
Right. But and then my mother had prenatal care. What?
Because there's what? Because there's a statistical likelihood or it's a statistical inference to be drawn as to whether or not you're a terrorist?
I have no idea. I just am telling you that it's just, you can look at so many different points where they're closing the society down and preparing it for I don't know what, because the jobs aren't there, and what, now they don't want you to escape, and...
Right. I said a long time ago when all these idiots were hollering, we need a border fence. That, you know, if what I said back then is if the government ever goes a whole hog and builds that damn thing, it will not be to keep people out.
Exactly. No,
it will be to keep our asses in.
No, it's the same thing across the board with the Gitmo torture. It's all just sort of creeps on into the closest citizenry, which is us, you see. You know, it's just a nightmare. And the other thing I wanted to, I sent you that article because I was laughing.
Oh, the Viagra story?
Susan Rice, you're the bitch. That cruise missile bitch, is she pulling a Bush with the fake or the, you know how they was the...
Oh, you mean the story, yeah, the story in Kuwait about how the Iraqis are pulling the babies off life support and throwing them out the window in Kuwait.
It falls into that category of why we make war. I was like, hello?
Well, I got to tell you, when I first saw it, I clicked the link, and yeah, it's from Foreign Policy Magazine, but, you know, sometimes The Onion makes stuff like that up. And I'm looking around, oh, hell, this is real. Yeah.
I read it before I sent it to you. because I was laughing. I thought, no, especially laughing at the part when they said she just sort of brought it up in a meeting, like, you know, to shut people down.
Yeah, and just so folks will know the backstory on it, Susan E. Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, told the UN Security Council today, and anytime you read that line, it just conjures up images of Colin Powell sitting there saying, "My colleagues, I am not making this shit up."
Or the mushroom cloud.
Right, because he knew he was making it up. Susan E. Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, told the UN Security Council today that there is another good reason to confront Libyan forces. Everybody sit down. I don't want anybody, and preferably on the floor, because I don't want you falling off a chair or anything. Muammar Gaddafi has reportedly been passing out tablets of Viagra to his frontline troops to help them rape women. Damn.
And don't forget the packets of condoms.
Oh, yeah, condoms, too, because they're doing... Yeah, he's handing out packets of Viagra and condoms. They're having safe sex rape in Libya.
Right, that was the thing. I was like, oh, it's safe sex rape. You know, and she didn't have no evidence to back it up. She's just going to, you know, bark it out at him. You know, she's another one of them people be yelling, so... God knows.
Yeah, because you got to go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs before you get the line. UN Council diplomats said that Rice provided no evidence to support her claim.
That's the main thing, and it's just, you know, it's...
But then there's this dependent clause, Sandra.
What?
UN Council diplomats said that Rice provided no evidence to support her claim, which appeared earlier this week in the British tabloid The Daily Mail. I mean, that's like Colin Powell holding up a copy of the National I have here.
Right.
You know, that's Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black stopping to pick up the tip sheets.
No, but it's just, the thing is that these tried and true tricks just won't go away. I shook my head. I said, no, Rice, you didn't go that route. You know, another Rice.
Another
black woman. It's just like, what's happening? Because she looked crazy, too. Although, I have to say that Condoleezza is going to be on 30 Rock, and I will be watching.
Going to get the TV down from the attic and the rabbit ears out and everything.
Yeah, because I'm like, why is Condoleezza Rice going to be on 30 Rock? But anyway, listen, I digress.
Because Different Strokes is not on the air anymore, that's why.
Anyway, but, sorry.
No. See, I got to, before you go, I got to point out that there's one more angle on the Gaddafi story, because you know there's always subtext. I'm positive that this came out of Langley, this whole Viagra safe sex rape thing.
Boom. Yeah. Okay.
Because there's an implication in this, and that is that Gaddafi's forces aren't studly enough to get it up for rape on their own. Because you know, in any war enterprise, you always enter that phase where you have to dehumanize the enemy. And in this case, you know, well, he sent them in to rape and pillage, and they just couldn't rape, and so he's, you know, providing them with Viagra. And I read that, jeez, oh, the psyops, it's always the psyops.
It's just one of those stories that I just thought, oh, wow, you know, everything is just going way up north. And I have to say, so old Trump, his ass, they digging shit up on him. It's like, oopsie, that's what you get. I've been reading all kinds of interesting stories about his dumb ass.
Oh, you mean like bitching about Chinese goods when all of his Trump sweaters and Trump sweatshirts and Trump T-shirts are made in China?
Yeah, and not written to black folks in the 70s?
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
You know, and I'm sure it's just going to keep coming out.
Yeah, he gets along fine with the blacks as long as they're not trying to rent from him.
The blacks, you know. And the thing that gets me about this guy is he's so disgusting, and he's just some sort of... a Lucky Sperm Club member, huh?
Yeah, but when the last episode of this season's Apprentice airs, and he says, "Ha ha, I jacked up my ratings and got renewed on your ass," Is anybody in the for-profit media going to say, well, pardon us while we wipe this egg off our face, and then we'll apologize?
Oh, because they were taking it seriously?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, I still haven't really figured out what this whole releasing of the long-form blah, 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 because that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think, what else is going on here?
Well, but, you know, thank God that he did that, because it put all of the birtherism to rest. Not.
Oh, God. Well,
did you catch it? I mean, did you catch this stuff? It was absolutely lunacy.
Well, no, but isn't it distracting from what we should be looking at right now? I don't know why Obama did that, because the yelling at the town halls, that shit is great.
Oh, new Alan West story.
Oh, please.
We need theme music for this, Sandra.
Well, he needs, I don't know what. I got to find something for that Negro, for real.
No, apparently after he sent Nicole Sandler off to... solitary confinement.
Listen, I'm sorry, I have to mention this. I had some friends rolling talking about your show and the whole Bradley Manning thing. And what does that sound like? It makes me sound like a bitch. But, you know, they were just sort of relieved that there was some area where it wasn't so sanctimonious and cause to live. So anyway, I'll just let you know that, you know, you made some of my peeps quite...
Oh, always happy to oblige. He was interviewed after this whole thing, and in the interview, it's only 35 seconds. Let's let him do it himself, okay? Mm. It sounds so much more delightfully crazy when he says it instead of me.
The man designated to read questions from audience members read one word. A lot.
I'm already in on constant Medicare. Don't change Medicare and Medicaid. I do not want Medicare turned into a bullshit program.
And if you know Alan West and what he thinks of Medicare, the program that delivers health care to 38 million seniors and that national polls say is largely supported, his response was what you'd expect. He gave it during the town hall and during a press conference.
I got to tell you something. If you support Medicare the way it is now, then kiss the United States of America goodbye.
You got that? If you support Medicare, kiss the United States goodbye.
Wow. I mean, this dude is in the news nonstop. Oh, God.
You're rational. You operate in a reasonable world. How do you get from that A... to that B, that continuing to take care of our seniors' health care needs is the end of America?
Well, that's the same trope that Reagan spoke about when they were first bringing in the health care for older people. He was saying that it's the direct road to socialism. So it's the same meme, you know.
Until you wake up one morning and... it's right. We're socialists.
Right. I mean, it's you know, they're able to tie these entitlement programs to the end of the project. And it's just like, oh, you know.
I mean, we're all going to be out in the streets hollering, workers of the world unite, and wearing our little red bandanas and singing the Internationale because Granny was able to get her Zoloft? God, and the thing, you know... the audio we had last night, all those people in that room just a clapping, because somebody was asking him hard questions. And then as you hear in that audio there, the guy said, you know, card after card after card, leave my Medicare alone.
Yeah.
And those are the same people that were clapping because somebody wanted to ask him a hard question.
No, it's incredible. I mean, it's just completely disconnect literally directly affecting you. That's the only way that these people relate. I guess it's completely lateral and just me, myself, and I. I don't know. But they're waking up to a new world where they're going to see they're completely expendable.
But, that disconnect is so... it's a swath that is so broad and so deep in this country. I got a note in from David in Tennessee a few minutes ago Sandra, that just sort of encapsulated everything, like what we were talking about the South. He said, you know, our South, he said, they vote in government that cannot respond and then build additions on their mega churches. Yep, that's pure genius.
I don't even know how to respond.
Well, it's true. I mean, I remember up north of Nashville, there's a little community on the northern outskirts of Nashville as you're going up I-65. Mega church got blown to smithereens by a tornado a couple of years ago. I mean, Jesus was not left standing. And the first thing they did was got themselves a 60 foot vinyl banner saying "Praise God." They're lost.
Wow.
You know, it's Reverbo talking about that bus that's been idling for a generation and a half, and yet one of these days we're going to put it in drive and go, because we can't wait for them forever.
No, it is definitely. It's really hard to imagine. And like I said, I feel for the suffering that it has gone on in the South and will just continue, because their public policies aren't people friendly.
Well, you know, and is there a way to go and people, you know, that's really sick, Bob. That's opportunistic. But you know, while you're in there picking up the driving the 2x4s back out of the telephone poles, is it okay to maybe look at them and say, you know what? It'd be a lot easier to clean all this up and help everybody rebuild if a certain portion of this country were paying their fair share in taxes.
Yeah, but those places are, it's interesting because most of those states are already receiving, like, you know, a dollar.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe you say, listen, we did it this time, but if we don't start making the rich pay some taxes, we ain't going to be able to do it the next one.
I don't know. You know?
I mean, it's scary business.
I don't really know what's going to happen, but...
I mean, we don't have the first clue about the costs coming out of last night. But, you know how many tornadoes there were and how broad the swath was.
No, but we also know that in this country, they're more than happy and able to leave it as it is, too. That's what's really disturbing. If you look at the Ninth Ward and other disaster hit areas.
But sooner or later you hit a place where you run out of places to walk away from. Does that make any sense?
I guess. Yeah, no, I agree with you, but...
And it's not just the tornadoes. I mean, we talked the other night about the rising waters. You know, there's that story, I guess we'd gotten done talking, and I mentioned Poplar Bluff, Missouri. In 2008, their levee was certified as unacceptable by the Army Corps of Engineers, and they just let it sit there that way because they couldn't afford to do anything about it. Because in Missouri, calling for people to pay a rational tax rate is somehow deemed to be communism or perhaps even Satanism.
Oh, no, because they're too busy trying to figure out how to lock up women who are pregnant. Or want to end a pregnancy.
Right. You know, if this was a rational country, I'm going to say something probably get me in trouble. One of these days, somebody would wrap a chain around Grover Norquist's ankles and just drag him through town for a while.
No. I mean, it is. It's just so upsetting. What the response will be, you know, we already know. That's what's really sad.
And, you know, David in South Carolina noting, you know, no public transportation in the South either. And none of these southern states is invested in it. So now folks can't even afford to drive to Walmart. They bought all these big pickup trucks and they can't afford the gas to go in them, let alone the banknote and the insurance. I mean, there's a day of reckoning coming, Sandra.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Yes, when I think about the South, I certainly don't think of bullet trains? No, Bob.
No.
Wow. Listen, so I'll let you go, but funny, the football thing is, aren't they having that draft tonight?
Yeah, it is. I had a note from Marty saying, who do you think goes first? And I don't got a clue.
Anyway.
Because I don't think there's a... Well, Mel Kiper, I'm sure, says otherwise, but I don't see a clear, oh, you got to have him. Especially when you consider who's got the first choice.
Yeah, but who is that? Is it Carolina?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
No, I don't know.
I wonder if the whole response to it's going to be muted because of the whole lockout. But anyway.
If I'm a kid on the block waiting for the draft, I'm going to be just a little bit less than thrilled.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Because you don't even know if you're going to play.
That's what I'm saying. I just think that it's, and it's just so bizarre. I still can't figure out that, I think I'm leaning more towards Dave Zirin's theory that these owners are involved in a lot of Madoff type losses and they don't want people to know, which is why they won't open their books. And
right, well, you know, granted it's not football, but you know, look at the Mets involved with Madoff.
No, exactly, but you know, that's part of the reason with the football, because they actually have lost a lot of money, and that's what it's all about. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting theory.
No, I love Dave Zirin.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, well, have a good evening.
All right, you too, Sandra. Later.
Bye.
Bye now. Huh, I tell you what, we'll take a little break and come back to more of your calls. Lines open if you want to get in line. We'll take a break and come back. This is The Horn. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. Thank you for the contributions that have come in during the program. They are more appreciated than I can properly express, but I hope you know what that means in terms of depth of gratitude. Thank you very much. I'm Bob. We'll be back.
Sucked him out the window. He ain't come home again.
Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Couldn't resist that. From their album, The Dirty South, that is the patron saint band of the horn, the Drive-By Truckers. Song simply called Tornadoes. It's 11 minutes past the hour. Why I do time checks, I don't know. It's habit, what it is. That's habit. But quick trip to the email box and then right back to the phones. Let's see here. By the way, the town in Tennessee with the blown away church, David in Tennessee reminds me that's Goodlettsville. Also noting, with regard to what I said a little bit ago, egg on the for-profit media and egg on their face. Nope, not those guys. They have no shame. The for-profit media types will be begging for more quotes from the Donald types, much like a trained seal, and for more rancid hair. For more rancid herring. Rancid herring. Really, is that have we run across a better reference for the for-profit media than rancid herring lately? Oh, poster. And Darlene, with regard to Sally Kern out in Oklahoma, I'd play you the sound, but you just lose your mind. It's insanity of a stunning degree. Representative Sally Kern, Republican, in Oklahoma City said minorities earn less than white people because they don't work as hard as white people, and they have less initiative. We have a high percentage of blacks. No, got to do my Sally Kern voice. We have a high percentage of blacks in prison, and that's tragic. But are they in prison just because they are black or because they don't want to study as hard in school? That's right. That's right. In Oklahoma, people get put in prison for making D's. I've taught school, and I saw a lot of people of color. See, I say people of color sometimes. See, that proves I'm enlightened, and yes. I've taught school, and you don't really pronounce the L, that's school. I've taught school, and I saw a lot of people of color who didn't study hard because they said the government would take care of them. Well, that's not sitting real well with Darlene. Talk about not wanting to work. I'd love for someone to find out how many weeks Boehner has given the House of Representatives off since he took the damn gavel in January. These crazy repiglickins who sit there and accuse the rest of us of not wanting to work or of not working hard enough, or they are themselves slackers. They're just projecting their own inadequacies and penchant to milk the system onto everyone else. You know the drill. Because they do it, they automatically assume everyone else does too. Toaster. By the way, your fundraising update. We are we've brought in thank you very kindly. $70 in contributions this evening. We'll soon only need 700, so that's progress. And that's big progress. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
So many places to go to.
Oh, it's just a veritable cornucopia, isn't it, Roberto?
Unbelievable. Let's start with the sandblast. When I think of the South, I don't think of no bullet trains. Oh, yes, sirree.
Well, see, she laid David low with and the, what was it? It was way back a little bit ago. I got a note from David. Oh, she's killing me. There's our economy at 1.8 and chugging right along.
Oh man, that was great. Well, I mean, do you recall reading anywhere that the South Carolina Aeronautical and Space Administration is planning on launching anybody to Pluto anytime soon?
There's a lot of South Carolina already lives there, Reverbo, but no. In fact, I have. Are they done laying the foundations for the South Carolina Aeronautic and Space Administration?
Well, things get kind of tied up in budget hearings, but they're, you know, it's kind of on the shelf. That would be, I guess, SCASA, and then there's always the Mississippi Aeronautical and Space Administration, which would be NASA, and I guess that's not funny.
Oh, no, stop it.
Okay. But,
you know, what's funny though, is that in the very, very beating heart of hatred of the federal government, you know, Alabama, since we've been talking about Alabama, there in north central, just, you know, 20 miles from the Tennessee state line, sits Huntsville, home of the Redstone Arsenal, home of the U.S. Space and Rocket Center. Huntsville calls itself Rocket City, USA. But they don't want no government intervention. You know, that's where we let that old Nazi Wernher von Braun settle down. I've been to many a concert. I mean, I remember the first time I was at a concert at the von Braun Civic Center. No, really. And the lights came up after the Kansas concert, and you couldn't see. It was like a fog in Bogota. Yeah, the von Braun Civic Center. You know, again, built with federal money.
Sure.
Because federal money supported von Braun and newly reconstructed, re-educated Nazis who came over to help us build missiles.
That's right.
But they want the federal government off their back.
That was quite a revolving door for those guys.
Yep. Well, it was spinning at almost gyroscopic speed.
Damn. So while she was, I was on listening, and I went to the. I got online and I did a little research on that McDonald's story, and it's just freaking amazing. I mean, I knew that, you know, when Home Depot, you know, advertises that, you know, for 30 jobs locally, you know, 900 people show up, but the numbers on this are just idiotic, and the comments. I don't know. I went to Daily Coast and went to some other place, but the comments are just real are just horrible. People writing in, yeah, I applied, I didn't get hired, and then they say, yeah, there's Eastern Virginia is just dead, no jobs in North Carolina, nothing happening in Buffalo. How many people you think, you know, 50-year-olds got hired? Well, take it from somebody who knows, folks. There's a lot of demographic groups you do not want to be in right now if you need to get back into the workforce, and being middle-aged is one of them.
What a brutal reality.
Well, we're bad management risks because we remember when what a good job is, and we expect something.
Yeah, when manager Timmy, who's still a dedicated Clearasil customer, tells you that you done that wrong, well, you know, your 50-something employee is prone to say, well, Timmy, come here a minute. Let me talk to you, Timmy. And that's just not going to work. Oh, by the way, going back to the South Carolina Aeronautics and Space Administration in Huntsville, David also noting, without NASA, Huntsville would still be a collection of feed stores, meat and threes, and bait shops for good old boys headed to Gunnersville Lake. Bastards. And it's true. You know, how many... Because, you know, one of the things that happened as a function of the New Deal was that there was a dedicated effort to try to raise the South up to at least an even keel economically with the rest of the country. This was before the Rust Belt was known as the Rust Belt. And so, you know, there's this long history, Reverbo, of the South getting more than it puts in. But I guess the Republicans and conservatives and what have you have been so damned good at making sure that anyone who would remind them of that was afraid for their lives and didn't dare raise their heads above water or whatever, that there's nobody there to say that to them or to remind them of that. You know, where I grew up, Wilson Dam was built before the Tennessee Valley Authority was even conceived. Wilson Dam was built by the federal government on what are called the Muscle Shoals of the Tennessee River because even in the 20th century, the earliest part of the 20th century, Florence, Sheffield, Muscle Shoals, and Tuscumbia, Alabama were still suffering through wave after wave after wave of yellow fever epidemics. Yellow fever, you know, like in Panama.
Yeah.
But we got to get the government off our backs.
Yeah.
Because we kind of like having the mosquitoes on them.
Mm-hmm. That noise you hear is the engine of those airships about ready to leave. I'm sorry. I'm back in the control room. We're ready to hit go. I can't.
Yeah, those vacuum controlled doors are just.
Yeah. Yep. You can just hear that airlock sealing as we speak. But nobody's trying scratching to get in, are they? They just don't get it.
They don't want to leave. You know, hey, Moses, what are you talking about? You want me to go wandering in that damn desert? Pharaoh gives me 3 hots and a cot every day.
That's right, cardboard box and a towel, everything you need, man. Well, this brings me to the meat of my call, because your opening monologue, I mean, the undertones of that were not very subtle. They were not lost on me. I remember why Hurricane Katrina came down on that city of New Orleans. I remember when that idiot Santorum, I don't know when this was, several years ago or so, he decided to, we were once again in another scandal by the Catholic Church, by these priests, and remember he blamed that on the liberal attitudes of the state of Massachusetts. Remember that?
Yep.
Yes, I get all this. And so the question is, we have this classic case of cognitive dissonance. My question to you, tornadoes are horrible needs to be said. But having said that, my question is, just how, by the way, Yankees running at Manassas, and you really are a Mac, ain't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, they did.
All right, well, let's just leave that for a minute. My question is, how do the Knicks rationalize it when that angry white god comes down and smites them?
Well, you know, we're just being taught a lesson. See, it's that homosexual marriage, I'm telling you. And it's that Darwinian evolutionism. If we just get back to Jeebus, everything would be all right.
Oh, you mean they just are not, they're not born again enough.
Right. David was not kidding. They cuss the government and build additions onto their megachurch. And then the megachurch gets blown away, and the government helps them rebuild it. And then within the short span of the next election cycle, they're hollering about getting the government off their back again. Remember, I mean, I'm going back to it. You know who made the Yankees run at Manassas Reverbo?
I don't.
A bunch of people who didn't own slaves. A bunch of people who, for the very life of themselves, spent every blessed year scrabbling out an existence out of dirt that wasn't much prone to yielding one, because all the hot shot cavalier aristocrats owned all the good land and were working it with slaves.
Okay.
But something happened, and that's this. When secession fever struck the South, all them idiots who were pushing plows because they couldn't afford a damn mule put the plows down because old Massa in the big house said, our way of life is under attack. An overreaching federal government is trying to take away our very way of Christian life. And there were ministers in pulpits like my ancestor who said, see here now, it says right there in St. Paul. St. Paul says right there, slaves, obey your masters as the church obeys Jesus Christ. Now, what do you reckon that means if it don't mean we're supposed to own these people? And the combination of those two things, Reverbo, sent men who didn't have shoes on their feet But we're prone to being whipped into an absolutely hyper-righteous fury from places like Lauderdale County, Alabama, northward, because they'd done been invaded. Now, how is that a damn bit different from some demagogue son of a bitch standing on the hustings in Montgomery and hollering about, we got to get government off our back because our way of life is being threatened here? See, one of the things that folks outside the South don't understand is that the South is still fighting the Civil War. It is as if there were beer gardens all over southern Germany where three generations later, sons and grandsons and great-grandsons of the Wehrmacht were complaining that, you know, no, those Poles really did attack that radio station, and we done been invaded, and everything we did because we had a right to. That is how bad it is.
I used to live down there, remember?
Well, true. You've been down. You lived down south of the Possum Line.
I did. It wasn't the super crazy South, but the super crazy South was well within, a possum's throw at all times. You know, a squirrel brain's throw. But it seems to boil down to me, though, if you want help, you've got to help me help you.
Oh yeah, it's that whole entire scene.
I mean, you can't. Constantly. It's not, you're just not in the best interest. You're voting against the country's best interest. That just ain't getting it done. And it just, immediately, when you were talking about these boys, you know, in 1860, when was Manassas anyway? 60?
1861.
Okay.
Because by the spring of 1862, we got Shiloh, and that's when, because remember, the first Manassas, or First Bull Run, that's the one where all of Washington's gentry rode out in their little carriages because they were going to watch those upstart rebels get what was coming to them.
Oh, my.
And it was going to end right then and there. And some of them got killed because the Yankees who were busy running away for all they were worth didn't care who was in the way. Yeah, they rode out and sat on a hill to watch them ignorant hillbillies get it handed to them. That was First Bull Run, and then by 1862, the spring of 1862, Shiloh comes along, or South Pittsburgh Landing. And at Shiloh, they found the North suddenly realized that them hillbillies was in it for real. Because more people were killed and wounded in 2 days of battle at Shiloh than had been killed and wounded altogether in the Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Mexican War combined.
Damn.
And all because if Joe was still around, he would explain, all because those Scots-Irish with a real penchant for, you know, what are you fighting about? Well, I'll be right there.
Yeah.
We're easily swayed by dint of ignorance. Okay, ignorance. There's a reason that, the University of Alabama, the University of North Carolina, you know, the two oldest state-supported universities in the United States ain't up north. It's the University of North Carolina and the University of Georgia, and those two just about have to be kept from coming to blows over who's older. You know, they'll fight on how many birds will, you know, Southerners will fight over how many birds will leave a wire at once. I think there's going to be two left over. I'll kill you. But those institutions were there for the sons of the, and I do mean the sons of the planter class. The University of Alabama followed suit shortly thereafter. What, 1839? And the University of Mississippi. And the same architect designed them all. And they were all quite impressive for what they were in their day. But there weren't high schools. There were barely primary schools. There certainly were not anything approaching public schools. And no, hell no. Cotton was not the largest export of the South or the largest domestic product. Ignorance was. And so because they were stupid, no, ignorant, because they were ignorant, they were easily motivated to go and fight for the South. You know, pity the poor Irish getting off the boat in New York. Equally ignorant. Pity the Russians and the Poles all getting off the boat, who rich men went to them and said, "Here, if you survive the war, yeah, here's 2,000, you know, here's $500. Go fight in my stead and dodge the draft." You know, there were draft riots in New York City, not in Richmond. Very few people had to be compelled to go fight for the South, but in the North it was a different story. That's why the original armies that Lincoln raised came from the same sort of places, only a slightly different latitude. If you go for instance to Shiloh, you know there's monuments to the various states all over, well, the northern states, and there's a monument to Wisconsin, and there's a monument to the soldiers from Iowa. And there's a monument to the soldiers from Minnesota. Because, again, you take that same agrarian farmer class that has not had any exposure to any sort of education and tell them, your way of life's under attack. The next thing you know, some slave's going to come up there and they're going to be, ah, them southern planters, they got their eye on Fond du Lac.
There you go. Just hit them in the gut. Well, and all I can think of after this is that the well chumps, Bob, have been among us for far too long.
Yeah, well, you know, if we were doing the New Testament all over again and could, you know, get Sherman to crank up the Wayback Machine, we'd go back and ask him, "Hey, Jesus, were you sure it was the poor you have with you?" And kind of explain. Oh no, oh I'm sorry. The stupid you have, the ignorant you have always with you. But the thing is, just as with poverty, Reverbo, ignorance is the single greatest curable disease on the planet. You know, the reason this planet's so vastly overpopulated is in large part because of ignorance. I mean, there are statistically correlative circumstances where if you inject literacy, basic literacy,
oh, the birth rate goes down.
The birth rate goes down immediately.
Well,
because life expectancy goes up, and suddenly you don't need 12 people to farm that matchbook-sized scratch. No.
Even societies or countries where they get, or women can have more exposure to educational and economic mobility, the birth rate goes down. Yeah, this is.
And guess what the rich doesn't want? The rich do not need the royalty of this world, do not need a small supply of serfs. They need an endless, constantly reproducing supply of serfs. Just like the Catholic Church does now. Because with intelligence and education comes a realization that those people who claim divine right of kings, not really.
Well, yeah, like David Tremain likes to say, yeah, they're going to start sniffing out the con. If anybody with even half a brain starts asking the wrong question. But I just can't, I couldn't quite get my head around how, I mean, this narrow-minded, this isn't an omnipotent, all-seeing, you know, all-powerful God that these idiots worship. It seems to me it's just this narrow-minded, petty, cowardly God. And
he's a white-bearded, juvenile delinquent in the sky.
Right, who just likes to hurt weak people. And he just may decide to despise and detest you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is, they, but the problem is that they cannot even conceive, I don't think, of a God that isn't in their own, you know, hateful image. They're unable to even, there's no conception of such an idea. So your monologue is obviously lost on anybody that doesn't, you know, that doesn't think.
And that's, you know, and that's why we don't have an audience the size of, Dancing with an Alien.
That was the first bullet train leaves the Atlanta station. History we made today as the first, as the first 12 bullet trains, you know, whooshed into Fort Lauderdale. I'm sorry.
The new Trans Island Skyway opened today in Birmingham.
There you go. The rocket, one dozen rocket sleds leaving Nashville. You ever seen those, remember those pictures of guys on the rocket sled and their faces are all like smashed back?
Oh, yeah, they're the guy in the Maxell commercials of old.
Yeah, with these G-forces. Like you'd actually strap somebody in a, here's a plan. Let's strap somebody in a rocket sled and just fire her up and cut her loose. There you go. Don't put a helmet on them or anything, though.
The Wile E. Coyote School of Physics.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I'll let you go so you can get in any more calls.
All right.
And, good show. Good show. Always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, Reverbo. And as soon as you get them developed, I need the pictures of that ribbon-cutting ceremony from the South Carolina Aeronautics and Space Administration.
You got it. It's on it. They're on their way.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Doppler effect. Oh, God. You know, it's so damn sad. But how do you not... I'm not laughing at anyone's misfortune. But how many times can people shoot themselves in the foot without us sooner or later pointing out, you know, that you're shooting yourself in the foot? I go back to my guy driving the phone, you know, dead drunk. You know what you need, son? You need Jesus. No, you need to dry out! Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Chris from Nanaimo.
Well, hey, Chris, what's up?
Oh, depression, you know, taking up alcoholism, that sort of thing.
You know, as the late Hunter Thompson said, I don't ever want to be perceived as recommending drugs and alcohol, but they always work for me.
The man saw into the future. Regarding the media and its lack of transparency, its lack of doing its job, and all is basically the hard-on for the media at all that we have today, especially given the Obama birth certificate crap. The Japanese media, you shouldn't be leaving it out. Seriously, it is a bought and paid for agency of TEPCO. They are the biggest single advertiser on all of them. They either own the media directly, sort of like GE, or they advertise so heavily on it that basically they're always looking over their shoulder. They've gotten to the point where the press conferences they hold daily on the nuclear incident are only staffed by those who have never, ever criticized TEPCO or the government for anything. Literally, they're stenographers. One guy who had been, you know, basically one of these stenographers for the longest time, Yuzugi, criticized TEPCO for its closed attitude towards information on his TBS radio program, not even directly to them, just as a sort of an aside thing. It was the most tepid form of criticism you could possibly make. He was immediately dismissed from his regular program. That happened fairly
quickly. Yeah, because you've got, and as I think our buddy Robert in Kitakyushu would note, you've got that social marriage between authority and the information structure.
It's actually more direct than that. They're literally owned by the people who are screwing up and don't want it being covered.
Kind of like GE owning, and right.
Instead of just having partial ownership, just imagine literally NBC being a branch of GE. It's part of their PR department. It's more specific, more explicit. As an added bonus, the government of Japan, the NISA, the Nuclear Industry Safety Association, and the Department of Education and TEPCO now have a singular command operation for all press releases regarding the incident, so that they all speak on the same page and all the information can be carefully nudged in the right direction of non-terror. Honestly, the people in Japan should be fleeing in boats right now, as far as I can tell. It doesn't just extend to Japan. It's here. The Japanese are sending all kinds of these intimidating letters to web providers here in North America and Europe, all over the world. Anything that might be potentially fear-causing or detrimental to the people of the public interest in Japan, taken off, banned, blocked. UC Berkeley's California professor, who was part of the Society for Concerned Scientists or something like that, he's not getting any more calls from the media because of that.
Oh, my God, what a lockdown.
I mean, it's total, and you think, oh, it's just a Japanese thing. We'd hear about it. They don't allow foreign press in any of the press meetings. They don't take questions from the foreign press. The only press they take questions from are the local ones, and that's, again, their stenographers. And the foreign press, when they do get allowed to report anything, they literally get spoken to by attachés, literally the flunky who may or may not be in the loop about anything, may not even know what the words he's saying mean. Attachés are usually hired on as children, scions of privilege, for the purposes of giving them a cushy thing for the resume and then passing on to something bigger. I'm not going to give you a reactor-by-reactor breakdown of this incredible horror that's worse than Chernobyl. Don't let them fool you. It's still going on. It's still melting down. Nobody's been near reactors 1, 2, or 3 yet, period. They've had a few robots in there poking at the edges, but they're still not sure. They're inferring a lot, but honestly, when they're inferring, they're using the B team. The A team is either suffering from massive radiation sickness, or they're in the foreign countries and aren't being informed about what the hell is actually going on.
You know, this media lockdown that you mentioned, Chris. Now I'm gonna take us from where we are right now to something incredibly vacuous. Just as a means of showing how absolutely diehard, drop dead. Dedicated our betters are to making sure that we don't get information that might not be good for us. For this, John Fox sent this to me, and for this we got to go to Australia. Anybody who's ever heard Prayer Meeting Wednesday on this program, Chris, has heard that wonderful, wonderful parody song that we play at the beginning.
Church of Corporatism or Capitalism or something like that?
A song called Modern Christianity.
Yes, but I thought the guy who's that was reverend of the Church of...
Well, no, what it is it's a parody of a mega church in Australia called Hillsong. And it was done by a group called The Chaser.
Oh, Chaser. Hasn't Chasers War on Everything?
Yeah.
Awesomeness.
Amazing parodists and satirists. Well... The Australian Broadcasting Corporation had planned for the Chaser to do a sort of tongue-in-cheek coverage of that thing in England.
Yep, I heard.
You know, the one where the guy who's the welfare guy is marrying the commoner. Well, I mean, this is Australia in 2011. And so they were going to take the feed from the BBC, and the Chaser on the ABC was going to, you know, have a little fun. Well, this is the story from the Sydney Morning Herald. Britain's legislative might, wielded since Australia's foundation as a colony in the late 18th century, was finally dissolved by an act of our parliament in 1986. Yesterday, the cobweb-draped hand of the motherland reached out of the constitutional shadows and took the unprecedented step of threatening to deny the national broadcaster access to the royal thing. I'm not even going to call it, no, it's that thing. Clarence House, the almost 200-year-old London royal residence, which doubles as an office for the Prince of Wales and his son, demanded the ABC cancel plans to use the controversial comedy group The Chaser as royal wedding commentators. Then they contacted broadcast suppliers including BBC, Associated Press, Television News, Sky, and ITN to ensure that the ABC would have no access to any footage if it ignored the demand.
Those go off on unencrypted satellites as standard feeds. They don't have to ask permission if they don't want to. They could just literally tell the BBC et al. To go pound sand up an orifice.
But no, they can't.
Correspondents do.
They can't because, let's see, where's the quote here? This is... Patrick Harrison had stressed broadcast suppliers be reminded of the conditions that accompanied their license to broadcast. It has always been made clear by the BBC that use of its basic live news feed and BBC One programming for comedy, satirical, or similar entertainment purposes would not be permitted contractually.
Well, that's the neat thing about having a satellite. It's sort of like international waters. You broadcast something up to it and broadcast something back. And you being in a whole separate country and that actually meaning something in today's day and age, that's
but what a funky. What a petty, tawdry, cheap little crackdown.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this is the first time this has happened?
Oh, God, no.
Pull this out of their ass and just make it up on the go.
Now, this is the reason why I don't care if the earth would open up and swallow those two useless people. And the whole royal house along with it. I despise all royalty.
I think it's kind of funny that these two princes that they keep fawning over are, they refuse to do genetic tests on these lads. Just, you think Palin's little situation is a cluster muck? These guys have got it all over with all kinds of orders of magnitude, bigger bank accounts to throw into the mix. They don't look anything like their father. I don't care how good Princess Diana's breeding was.
No, see, I think the one useless guy looks. I mean, he certainly got Chuck's receding hairline.
That could be literally anyone, though. Bad teeth in England. It goes.
Now, see, I'm gonna get emails, Chris.
Come on, you know what we're Canadians are known for and such. You know, the whale blubber and maybe baby seal eyes along with it. So you know, if they can't take one or two jabs about the national teeth issue, you know, I think they're a little thin skinned. They need to be properly domesticated on that. just one passing note: the guys at RadioEcoShock.org, just EcoShock.org, they've done up this incredible document. I've seen college professors have put out papers that are less well-referenced than this. They've tried to figure out all the stuff that's corroborated, the stuff that's verified, the wild rumor, innuendo, wild predictions, and stuff we just don't know. There is so many bad things going on. Just remember, it's not just Daiichi, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's also 5 and 6. They're getting flooded from inside. They don't know why. They don't know why. It's filling up with water. Radiation is increasing. It's like a tsunami from the inside. And they say it can only last about another week before the whole damn thing is going to collapse. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Wait for 5 and 6 to have something happen. Keep an eye on the news for explosions. Or June and July are their rainy season. That's when they get big storms that look like hurricanes but aren't called hurricanes flying into their country. Keep an eye on the news that way. Don't drink dairy. Honestly, there's at least 3 or 4 different groups out there, French, German, saying people should just avoid consuming dairy, period. Use powdered milk, but just get off the dairy. Just a weird thing to think about. I don't know how I orient my life without dairy. They're talking about using fossil water supplies instead of anything else, if you can. If you like sea salt, buy it now. The Pacific is being poisoned. It's not getting better. buy high now in bulk, later it's going to be radioactive once the bees start going out again. Avoid anything that lived in the North Pacific. It doesn't matter if it's kelp or fish or whatnot, until we know more. We literally don't have anyone willing to...
So when the guys on Deadliest Catch start hauling out Simpsons-esque the king crabs with four or five claws...
I'm worried more about the Cthulhu pulling out human fetuses with flippers and shit out of the water. Yeah, they're just saying that there's just a few lists here of stockpile clean water. I don't know how many people could do that. I mean, I don't have a water tank out back I could fill up. Here's one thing everybody can do. If there's an event, just make it part of your social schedule or your business schedule. Just say, you know what, I'm going to take a personal week. Just stay the hell inside. If there is something that happens and it's reached you, you know, radiation clouds can happen. It may reach here, especially the people on the West Coast. Just, you know, if it happens, just accept it as I'm going to stay inside. I can't run away. There's nowhere to run to. But for a couple of days, I can at least maybe extend my, well, not extend. I'll lose less of my expected life if I stay inside for a week. And is 5 to 10 years of your life worth of a week's pay, you know? I mean, it's going to come down to that if things keep going the way they are, and I don't see Einstein taking over the Tesla response just yet.
Oh, Jesus.
Radiation spikes, stay out of the rain. They show a lovely correlation from Welsh versus the Brits. The Welsh, very wet area in Greater Britain, and the Britain is obviously a little bit drier, but you get much higher radiation levels in places where there's more rain. Dry areas don't get as much radiation. Rain takes stuff out of the vertical wall, air column and drops it on the ground wherever it rains. If it rains...
No, it's the same principle that applies to the mercury that the coal-fired power plants put into the air.
Treat it just like a heavy metal, and it acts, just has the added bonus of glowing in the dark. These guys are actually saying, consider migration to lower radiation locations. In other words, get the hell out of Japan, Hawaii, and the Aleutians. And if a reactor blows sky high, leave the West Coast at least temporarily. Set up a personal monitoring system, both official and alternative news sites for a warning. Watch for explosions, big storms in June or July. That's Japan's rainy season. Learn how radiation works. You know, just bone up on it so you know what to be afraid of, what not, and what the hell you can do anything about and what you can't. And again, the people in Europe are warning women and children to take measures to protect themselves against just radiation right now. Now, we're about 1,000 times less radioactive now than we were back in the 60s, but Fukushima may change that yet. It may have already changed that. We've got a lot of contradictory information out there. And learn how to use those potassium iodide tablets, when to use them, where to use them.
And have them handy.
Ask a survivalist. They tend to be really up on this stuff. Look up Chris Busby if you've got a chance, B-U-S-B-Y. He's a chemist who specializes in low-level radioactive exposure and wastes. And he can tell you it's not time to panic about the radiation in North America, but stop drinking milk just to be on the safe side, he said. Anyways, all kinds of happy, love food. It doesn't go uphill from there. If you want to read more, go to ecoshock.org. He's a great aggregator. He's doing the research, but my God, I thought Prairie 2 was bloody depressing off Mike Malloy's show. But at least Prairie 2 is starting to collaborate with these guys, apparently. They're all into the canned goods now. Some sort of universal signpost.
Well, it makes me wish more and more I could I've had a tiller. I'd have my garden in this year for the deer to eat. But, well, yeah.
You have many hundreds of acres, Bob? Just wondering, you know.
No, just one.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck.
No, need it. If I win the lottery, I'll have hundreds of acres, and I'll give you a call.
Lovely. I'll keep you posted if I win something.
Okay. Take care, Chris. Thanks. Bye. Chris calling from Vancouver. Can we get one more in? Nope. Stacked them up tonight. Thanks, everybody. This in from Tim in L.A. He says, this may be sort of sound tinfoil-ish, but the media silence may be in part from pressure from the Obama administration. Why? Because a lot of information coming out of Japan pinpointed the man-made disaster after the natural disaster right on General Electric. Jeffrey Immelt, CEO of GE, is on Obama's cabinet. Obama is now beholden to Immelt, and by exposing the failure of GE and the failure of nuclear power, will only throw mud on the face of Obama. Notice how Obama is silent about Japan, especially about the nuclear part? Barack Obama is no longer saying nuclear power is safe. You know, I hope that's not the case, Tim. I sincerely do hope that's not the case. This in from Reverbo following up. Headline, Dateline, April 26, 2031, Charleston, South Carolina. Thousands cheer as the first lucky business travelers board the gleaming bullet sleds at Charleston Station for Point South. Yeah, that's why it's fantasy, because it ain't going to happen. And more's the pity. Kind of proud of Think Progress. They've got a post up. It's right at the top of the page right now, thinkprogress.org. Storms kill over 250 Americans in states represented by climate pollution deniers. Today, news agencies are still tallying reports of deaths from the most devastating storm system in the United States in decades. Given that global warming is unequivocal, climate scientist Kevin Trenberth cautioned the American Meteorological Society in January of this year, given that global warming is unequivocal, the null hypothesis should be that all weather events are affected by global warming rather than the inane statements along the lines of course we cannot attribute any particular weather event to global warming. Good luck, Kevin. You just mosey on down to the bait shop and explain that to Bubba. And after he's done beating your ass and telling you you don't love Jesus, you'll understand why we're so frustrated. Thanks, everybody. I am proud to announce that we're down to only needing $700 to make this month's fundraising goal. And that in itself is amazing. Thank you, all of you, who do so much to keep all of this going. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to Reverbo, our op-ed columnist. And thanks for a special guest appearance as my head writer to David in Tennessee. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch, who keep all the technical aspects of this all going, especially Ben Birch, who is raising funds in his own right and badly needs them at White Rose Society. .org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. We'll be back tomorrow night, I hope. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next.